The wizard was with him, and Bjorn for much of the way, and he was never in great danger again. Anyway, by midwinter, Gandalf and Bilbo had come all the way back, along both edges of the forest, to the doors of Bjorn's house, and there for a while they both stayed. Yuletide was warm and merry there, and men came from far and wide to feast at Bjorn's bidding. The goblins of the Misty Mountains were now few and terrified, and hidden in the deepest holes they could find, and the wargs had vanished from the woods, so that men went abroad without fear. Bjorn, indeed, became a great chief afterwards in those regions, and ruled a wide land between the mountains and the wood, and it is said that for many generations the men of his line had the power of taking bear's shape, and some were grim men and bad, but most were in heart like Bjorn, if less in size and strength. In their day, the last goblins were hunted from the Misty Mountains, and a new peace came over the edge of the wild. It was spring, and a fair one with mild weathers and a bright sun, before Bilbo and Gandalf took their leave at last of Bjorn. And though he longed for home, Bilbo left with regret, for the flowers of the gardens of Bjorn were in springtime no less marvellous than in high summer. At last they came up the long road, and reached the very pass where the goblins had captured them before. But they came to that high point at morning, and looking backward, they saw a white sun shining over the outstretched lands. There behind lay Mirkwood, blue in the distance, and darkly green at the nearer edge, even in the spring. There far away was the lonely mountain on the edge of eyesight. On its highest peak, snow yet unmelted, was gleaming pale. "So comes snow after fire, and even dragons have their ending," said Bilbo, and he turned his back on his adventure. The Tookish part was getting very tired, and the Baggins was daily getting stronger. "I wish now only to be in my own armchair," he said.